of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the nice thing about video and not doing it live is that y'all can always edit that out. So we're in good shape. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to see what we can do about making today. Okay. Let me say it this way. We'll see if we can see what we can do about getting through our prepared material for today. I don't know. When the Lord first spoke to me on favor, it was in that time back where we were just basically doing a sermon at a time, just really letting the Holy Spirit lead. And the more I got into it, the more I was like, sheesh, how many times have I preached on favor of God, and yet God's revealed Himself this much more, a little, you know, step by step. So I didn't necessarily intend for it to become 5 weeks or whatever we're on now. But again, I do feel like it's essential that we just take it bit by bit, piece by piece, keep nuzzling off what we can, because, beloved, we need the statement we've made throughout this series has been that the favor of God is something much more than just convenience. It is convenient. It's nice to have to walk in the favor of God, but it is essential. It is mandatory. That's a good word to put it. It's mandatory in this day and age that you have the favor of God. And specifically those scriptures, and we're not going to turn there this morning. We've turned there every week, I think. But those scriptures in Psalm 91, where it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Where it says He gives His angels charge over you. That we don't have to be afraid of the arrow that flies by night, or the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by the day. We don't have to be worried about that kind of stuff. Why? Because He's with us. Because He takes care of us. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then He goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I shall fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They can't touch me. They think they're hunting after me, but goodness and mercy are hunting after me. See, this is the favor of God, and it's what God has been trying to get through to His church. And for the most part, the church has used it, and I believe we can use it this way, as a convenience instead of as a necessity of saying, all right, I got my shoes on, I got my clothes on, maybe not in that order, I got my hat on, I got my coat on, I got my purse, I got my wallet, I got favor. To legitimately say it in a way that I ain't leaving the house today, I ain't getting out of bed today unless I get out of bed and I walk in the favor of God. Because with the garbage that's going on, with the chaos that's going on, I don't want to get caught up in the chaos. I want to get it caught up in the favor. So the favor of God is simply unfair partiality. One of the things that gentleman said that sang that song, he used the term that favor ain't fair. Now we've said it, favor's not fair, but sure is fabulous. And his statement, I think I heard him say, favor's not fair, but sure is fun. And I agree with that too. That's a nice thing to have, is the favor of God operating on your life. But it's unfair partiality. Preferential treatment. God doing things for you that is not done for everybody. Doesn't mean it's not available for everybody. Again, I think that's one of my favorite definitions when it says He's not a respecter of persons. John Avanzini says it, that He's an equal opportunity God. That He's not going to do things for Elisa that He's not doing for Megan. unless Elise is doing something different than Megan. You with me here? He's an equal opportunity God. He wants to show his favor is available to everybody. But who's going to be ready for it to receive it? Preferential treatment to endorse, to support or assist, to make things easier. I like that one. To be provided with advantages, show special privileges. Now again, we've talked about those over the weeks and go to Mark 10 real quick. Just feeding this week and on the word and in the air of favor. You'll notice a couple just fresh things here as we review. heard someone say that review is preview, and sometimes we can get stuck in the review, but it's getting us running start on where we're going. But in Mark chapter 10 verse 27, now this is the story of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God, to have what you have, to do what you're doing, to have what your disciples have? What must I do? And of course he went through the commandments, you know, honor your father and mother and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I've been doing that kind of stuff. So he'd been doing the exterior. Then God said, Jesus looked to him and said, all right, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor, right? And come follow me. And he said, I can't do that. And walked away sad. So then he started teaching his disciples on the importance of really doing things God's way, being a part of the kingdom of God, doing things differently. And at one point his disciples looked at him just going, who then can be in the kingdom of God? Who then can operate this way? And his statement with them in verse 27, it says, Jesus looked unto them saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So in other words, if you're trying to do it on your own, it's impossible. But when you get God involved, when you're yielded to God's ways and God's system, it's possible. The impossible becomes possible. I don't care how you want to write that up, but that's the favor of God. Is that everybody else around you may be facing the same thing, and their answer may be, it's impossible. And you can stand right in the middle of that very same thing and go, oh no, watch this. It's not only possible, but watch my God perform. Hallelujah. We have a heritage of the impossible being possible. favor. Okay, I believe favor. Let's say it just a little bit different. We have a heritage of the impossible being possible. Woo! I like that right there. That's the favor of God. That's what we've been talking about. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 5. Do my best at not really spending time because I want to get through this and not keep you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. Some of you are not just ignoring that because you know it's very possible. No. Psalm chapter 5 verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. I love that. It's going to do it. He's going to bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou encompass him as with a shield. The righteous, the ones that are right with him. Galatians 3:29 says that if we're Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs of the heritage. Heirs of the covenants of promise. Heirs according to the promise. Part of the promise of Abraham was that he would be blessed with an abundance of favors. Genesis 12, 2. And that's specifically out of the Amplified Version. Beloved, the favor of God is our heritage. It is what we can expect. Now, I was just thinking about it because a lot of the heritage that we had been looking at had to do with Old Covenant. And some people get nervous with that. We should never get nervous if your main scriptures are still in the Old Covenant. Never get nervous. Because outside of the do's and don'ts, you know, you gotta sacrifice a goat and you gotta do all that kind of stuff you gotta do. Besides that, all the promises remain the same. So you never have to get nervous at that. But I started thinking about just even, how about Acts 12? You don't have to turn there. But, when James had been murdered by Herod, Herod had arrested Peter for preaching in public, and he had every intention the next day to make a public spectacle of him and kill him. And God said, I'll have to try to work through the court system. I'll try to get you a good lawyer. Nothing wrong with having a good lawyer. What did he do? No, he took an angel. Made an angel appear by his side, and then loosed the bands, the chains, walked with him out, opened the doors, and let him free. And he would have had to walk by how many other prisoners who still had their chains on. But God was doing something for his people that wasn't getting done for everybody. And he represents us. He represents that 14th generation, those that are in Christ. We're not going to look at all the favor represented in this one, but how about Paul when he was in the ship? And after a long time in the bottom of the ship where he was praying and talking to God, God said, the angel said, all right, here's what's going to happen. He said, you're not going to die. I'm going to rescue everybody. You're going to lose the ship. Amen. I'm telling you, that is a secure place to live, that you know things are going to happen for you. Amen. All right. It'll work for you. The favor of God is not something that's just convenient, absolutely necessary in our everyday lives. Now, what we have been doing over the past several weeks, honestly, has been, we've used the prodigal son's brother as our sign that you can be in daddy's house and have favor available to you and miss it all along. I mean, he came back and his brother, his first argument was not, this guy's a hooligan. Why are you letting him back and enjoying my stuff? That wasn't his first argument. His first argument was, I've been with you forever. I've never left. And yet you've never killed the fatted calf for me. That was his problem, is that he had lived in daddy's house. He just didn't realize he had favor. And so guess what? He was living like a servant. He was living less than what he actually had. And so we understand this as simply being that you can be in a Christian, living in the heritage, the lineage of favor, the lineage of impossible being possible. You can be in that place and still miss it. You need to do some things, operate in some ways to activate that favor. I thought in prayer right there as we were praying for the offering, said it as well as anything, is that just because the favor of God's raining down doesn't mean you're getting wet. Because you can have some things blocking that rain. And so we want to make sure we get rid of that. So we've gone through this, and I'll do my best not to preach on each point. Number one, we've got to understand the favor. We've used Hosea as the main key, and we know the three main things that keep people from enjoying God, the benefits, is not knowing about it. What you don't know will hurt you. Rejecting it, hearing it and going, sounds too good to be true. Or forgetting about it. I think most Christians find themselves with number three there instead of number one, number two. I say that. There are a whole lot of Christians that don't know. All right. And there are Christians that reject it. But I find that, especially in the faith movement in our churches, and if I could say it like this, all y'all, your most likely place that you're missing this is that you get on with other things. And the favor, that word favor, is not at the forefront of your mind. And so you've forgotten about it. And we can't do that. We just can't do that. We can't allow ourselves the luxury of forgetting about favor, because when you forget about it is when you quit walking in it and quit expecting it and quit living in it and enjoying it. But there's another way that, and again, I stumbled on this week, this thought pattern. I think this one would also affect many of us in this room. Because how many in here believe in the favor of God? You know that there's a favor of God. You understand there's a favor of God. All right. You didn't raise your hand. I saw heads nodding. How many of here you believe that God is the healer? Okay. How many of you believe that God is the prosperer? All right. Now, here's where I want to kick it in here to where you understand that. How many of you believe it, and how many of you just agree with it? Because believing and agreeing are two different things. And one of the thoughts that came to me is the same thing that we deal with the area of faith, is that even though Habakkuk doesn't use this one, I think the area of mental assent can be an enemy that keeps you from enjoying the favor of God. Just because you agree that there is favor doesn't mean you're going to receive it. Again, the third point, which we'll just list in a second, is faith. Favor is activated by faith. Not just by agreeing that there is favor. You can agree that, you know, is it possible for people to become millionaires? Sure it is. Why? Because we can see people become millionaires. Does it mean you'll ever become a millionaire? Well, no, not unless you're doing it. So you can agree that there's favor. You can agree that favor is a thing. You can even agree that favor is a thing for you. But it not do anything for you, because you aren't agreeing that it's yours to have, to walk in today. That today is my day of favor. Today is my day of manifestation. Today is the day. Now is the time. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, if we go to Acts 27, and again, this is where the Apostle Paul was on that ship, and he had heard from the angel. See, that's why I don't want us at the end of this series to be able to answer just all the questions on the favor of God. I don't want us at the end of this series just to be able to say, I know what it's the heritage. It's Psalms 5:12. It's Psalm 30 verse 5. And we can just spew a bunch of information. We need to have a light turned on in us that the favor of God is mine. I'm a child of God. It's what I have. It's what I enjoy. It's what I walk in. I walk in it daily. Things change for me because I'm a child of God. Acts 27, verse 25. Now again, this is, he's just heard from an angel. The angel of the Lord spoken to him, the apostle Paul. And notice what he says here. He says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now here's why, here's where a lot of people go, yeah, the favor of God's mine. I believe in the favor of God. Pastor talked about the favor of God. He's talked about it 5 weeks now. He won't shut up about it. He's looking for songs on the internet for it. I know the favor of God's mine. And yet when you're confronted with situations, you get discouraged and frustrated. Notice he didn't just say, "Hey guys, got good news for you. The ship's not going to be wrecked. No one's going to die. Got good news." No, he said there needs to be something external that proves what's internal. Mental ascent stops mentally. Faith, the things of the Spirit, is birthed in here and will come out. Mental agreement stops up here. It won't change what you do. It won't change what you say. But when God births something in here, you'll be of good cheer in the midst of the battle. Everybody says everybody's losing their job, and you'll stand up and you go, "It won't come nigh my dwelling place. I'm still going to make money. God gives me witty inventions, clever ideas. Then in the middle of all this kind of stuff, I'll still make money." And you'll sit there with a smile on your face, and people will think that you're cocky, that you're egotistical. And you just sit there and go, "Hey, I'm going to apologize for who I am and whose I am." Amen? So that just hit me with understanding the favors. It's got to be more than just an agreement. It's got to be something that births in here, knowing it. Number two, we talked about asking for favor, which again is not just, "Lord, please." It's not begging for favor. It's just simply saying, matter of fact, it's more of a demand. I loved James chapter 4 in regards to this. Matter of fact, I thought of it, and then when I started reading it, I realized how much it has to do with favor, believing for favor, asking for favor, because James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "You lust and have not, you kill, you desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight in war." All these things were the things that we've been talking about how some people get to the top. Jessica will talk about people that work at the hospital who are mean and vindictive and ornery and all that kind of stuff. And the reason why is because they want to be seen. They want to get to the top. They want to be ahead of other people. And so they act certain ways. I'm sure the hospital is not the only place that this happens at. But you can do all those kind of things to scratch and claw yourself to the top, or you can ask for favor. You have not because you ask not. And again, that word "ask" is ateo, I believe it is, where it just means really to require, to demand, to speak it forth. Favor! You're going to work for me today. Amen. Number three, we talked about faith, and we've already dealt with that a little bit today. If you don't walk by faith, especially regarding favor, you're not going to enjoy favor. It's just not going to be that way. Number four, last week we dealt with faithfulness brings favor. A faithful man will abound in the blessings of God. I think we're going to hit a little bit more on this today with another point. But that was the thing that promoted Joseph every place he went. Listen, Joseph would not have been promoted in Potiphar's house if he was stealing from him, if he was caught every day taking a nap on the backside of the garden, if he was disappearing. No, he was doing faithful things in front of Potiphar and his wife. And because of that, it said that Potiphar put everything he owned into his hands. That Potiphar didn't even know what he had, except for what he was eating at the time, because that was what was in his hand. Same thing in the prison. You know, if you've ever watched any prison movies, you understand that they have guys that are trust. I think they all call them trustees. I think is what they call them in prison, where they've been trusted in what they've done, and so they're given a little more responsibility. Well, he wasn't even a trustee. He wasn't someone that was. He was in charge of his wing of the prison. Like the warden didn't even check in on him, because you don't do that if someone's not been faithful. If you want favor, you've got to be faithful. Be faithful in your job. Be faithful in your area of ministry. Be faithful in the little. Be faithful in what's another man's. And God will promote you. Number five, and this one we finished on. I think we pretty much did a good job on it. But we cannot ever compromise. Favor demands that God is your source and He's your only source. That you're not going to try God, but I'll get some plan B's and plan C's going just in case. Amen. That we're trusting Him. I love the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan, and Satan tried to give him a shortcut where he wouldn't have to go to the cross and still have all the kingdoms as his. And Jesus said, "No, I ain't taking a shortcut. I've been called to do a certain thing. I'm going to worship the Lord God only. I'm going to do His way." He wouldn't. Don't compromise. Don't compromise on your way to the top. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to get into these because I know we did read these. Daniel and the three Hebrew children are prime examples of continuing to do what was right, even though it was going to, it could have cost them, except they, both of them were like, "Nah." You know, one of the things I think is funny is when the three Hebrew children went in there, they said, "Hey, if you throw us in there, we're still not going to serve, bow down to your idol. But if you do, our God's more than able to deliver us." And Daniel, you know, he prays in the window. He has to get thrown in there. And the king says, "Your God's able to deliver you." That's because he'd been watching Daniel and he knew exactly who Daniel was and how he operated and who his God was. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number six, let's move on to a new one here. And again, some of this is going to sound somewhat familiar because I do think this one piggybacks on top of faithfulness very well. But in number six, I'm going to say it like this. You need to stay in your assignment. Quit jumping around, trying to, "Well, this didn't work for me." We see it all the time. If somebody's not getting the promotion quick enough in church A, they go to church B. We've had people, I'm trying to think the exact one. I've had people that have ministered with me who didn't see their promotion come quick enough with us. So they just went to another church and they're promoted right away. Not all of them turned out very good. But a lot of people are jumping. They're like, "Well, I'm going to try the choir. I'm going to try the worship band or backup. Well, no, I'm going to try the nursery. No, I'm going to try, a street event. No, I'm going to try this." And they're not sticking in the assignment that God has given them and God has put them in. Listen, I'm so grateful that that we have prayers in our church. I pray. I know we have people that pray. But we have prayers too. That's their gifting, that's their calling. But what if Beulah and Sister Ruth and those ladies that spend their time just really just centered in and our intercessors, what if they decided, hey, instead of praying, let's start a yard ministry. Let's start mowing lawns and taking care of the outside of the church and we'll paint the church walls every week and we'll do this. And they decided instead of doing what they had been assigned to do, that they wanted to start doing things because all these other things could, should, need, whatever, get done. Well, there'd be a big hole in our church. Who knows the number of things that we've been protected by because of our prayer warriors? Are you with me here? So if they don't stay in their assignment, then it's going to affect the rest of us. And it will affect them. Amen. That's why you got to find your assignment and quit trying to see about everybody else's assignment. Amen. Go to Psalm 133. Hallelujah. Got about 25 more minutes or 20 minutes left in these shoes. Then the warranties weren't worn out. Psalm 133. Let's just read. Well, we'll read, I think, maybe the whole chapter, if that's okay with you guys. It might take us a while. Behold, how Tob and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together as one. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion. So that's talking about the church. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. So, it gives us the pattern of us, how awesome it is for us to dwell as one in our place. He said it's just like the high priest, where the oil would be poured over the head, and then would run down the length of the body. And when every part of the body was in its place, it would get covered up by the anointing. When the body was not in its place, the anointing would miss it. Because again, your arm can't go on your leg and go, hey, I'm just going to be here for a while. No, it's got to be in its place. Because if it tries to go down there, it's not going to be very long before it's rejected and not, right? It's going to be just an ornament on your wall, stuffed arm. Some people have deer heads, you have an arm. But the ability for you to walk in the anointing and have the anointing of God in you is the fact that you're in your place in the body. See, I think that's why a lot of people get messed up is because, again, Jesus is the head. I'm not arguing that. But then he placed the pastors to cover that local congregation. And when there's people who keep trying to butt the pastor, to knock the pastor, I want to be up there next to you. I want to be up there. You are not in your place. Because a healthy body has one head, has one neck, right? And so if you are up trying to compete with the head, you are not of the body. And you are in trouble. Because the anointing oil won't flow over here. It's flowing over the head and to those that are in their spot in the body, in their assignments. Now, I say all that to say this, is that again, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, out of the Amplified says that part of the blessing is an increase of favors. God does favors for us. So when you're in your assignment, in where you're supposed to be, then you are in a position to enjoy the blessings of God's favor in your life. The question becomes is what you're gifting. Are you chasing it? Look, man, I know there are people that are chasing their... Because when you're up here in the band playing, it looks all glamorous and everything. And so people are, I want to be up on the platform. I want to sit up there and I want to play the instruments and I want to sing. I want to get up there and I preach just like pastor. And I'm going to get up there. And I'm going to do, and they're not in their anointing. They're out of their spot. Okay, Jessica, my nurse in residence here. If there's a transplant, I know you haven't been, I don't think you've been in, but someone is taking a heart out of one location and putting the heart in another location. In that process of doing that, is the heart outside the body or inside the body? Outside the body. Amen. Because it's got to be out here. So if you're trying to take yourself in a place that you've been assigned, you are out here unless the master surgeon plugs you in. Are you with me here? You seeing that? So what's your gifting? And some people are like, well, Pastor, I don't really know my gifting yet. Well, don't you think that should be something that you're trying to find out? Because let's say your gifting is teaching. It could be children's ministry. Trust me, we need that spot filled. But you can just spend your time going, but I'm not very good at it. But if it's your assignment, then God has given you the grace to fill it. If it's your assignment, He'll enable you to, but you've got to step into it. You've got to be in that assignment. When you have an assignment and you don't do that assignment, what do you get, Pastor Lisa? All right. If you have an assignment and you don't do that assignment, what does that get you? An F or an incomplete? That's why I asked you. I know, that's why I asked you. I asked Jessica the medical question. I asked you. But it is a spiritual question, because if you have an assignment to accomplish and for whatever reason, maybe it's the reason you just don't know it, so you don't do it. According to Hosea chapter 6, does that let you off the hook? It's your job to find out. This is good preaching. I don't care who you are right here. I tell you what, man. Does it mean that we should feel guilty? No. It just means that we should find out. We should make that. We should ask God, God, show me what you want me to do. Show me my assignment in the body. What do you want me to do? And then when He says, do it, then you just jump in with both feet and you say, okay, Pastor, here's what God's called me to do. Here's what I feel I'm supposed to do. Pray with me. I mean, if it's preaching, then we'll let God give us details. Because God will open doors. But there's many things around the church that I'm sure some of you guys have noticed and thought, when's someone going to take care of that? You know what I found out when I'm the only one that notices something? Sometimes it's my job to do it. Amen. So what's your assignment? What is your gifting? Now again, I believe also, and I have no doubt because just but where's your actual physical location? I know people that jump from city to city based on a job instead of their assignment. Now again, your assignment can be to be a paymaster. I'm not arguing that at all. Lord knows we need paymasters. There's some of you all that God is ready to make at least thousandaires, if not hundreds of thousandaires, if not millionaires. He's given you ideas. He's given you thoughts. He's given you assignments. And you've been waiting. Oh, goodness. I was ready earlier this morning than usual. And so I just sat down. I read a few pages in one of Bill Johnson's books. And he was talking about how people get more consumed with trying to get their character lined up than with the supernatural. And he said, I am not arguing that you need to have good character. But Jesus, God Himself, never differentiated between the two. He went on more detail than that. But in other words, I'm trying to get all this stuff figured out, and God wants us just going after, you know, after everything. Honestly, I think some of the reason why we don't get the supernatural, we don't get the character, why we keep working on the character, is because we've not gone after everything that God wants us to do in the supernatural. Well, hopefully that made sense. I just read it. So, but my point being is that we may be looking for faith. We may be trying to build our prayer life. We might be trying to build our character. There may be a lot of things in the world, and we're leaving our assignment off there. And beloved, if God's called you to do something, your assignment becomes as important as your character. Your assignment becomes as important as your faith. Because I don't know about any all else's there, y'all. I don't think I said that smoothly at all. I don't know about you. But if you want to really start learning about faith, is step into your assignment. Especially when you feel inadequate. Remember? Step into your assignment and you're going to have to rely on faith. You ever had any of those times do you remember your first time maybe that you had a word to have to give and you didn't have it. And you're going through that day going, Lord, anytime. But maybe there was a temptation and you called Pastor Dennis, I ain't got nothing. But see, God always came through, didn't he? He taught you some things because you're in your assignment. The first time I I remember all, when I was a youth pastor, I had to come up with one sermon a week. And that about peaked out my faith. But I remember that first time that I was supposed to preach at a word rally. I was preaching at 11 o'clock. No. I was preaching at 3 o'clock on Friday. Brock Cunningham was preaching right in front of me. That doesn't mean anything to most of you. But I had all week long to remember how inferior I was. And I was just a youth pastor. Because we had afternoon sessions and then we had evenings. We didn't have the morning sessions. We had afternoon sessions, we had the evening sessions. And all week long I hear these guys, and I'm going, and the year before that I was like, why wouldn't I pick to preach? Can't believe I wouldn't pick to preach. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday comes, I still ain't got nothing. I had nothing. And I go home Thursday night from it, I ain't got nothing. Remember that trip home, Jessica? I had nothing. I mean, if nothing was measurable, I was full of nothing. I mean, I had nothing. And I woke up Friday morning and had more of it. Nothing. And so I first thing I did, I went to my office over Grace, Maine. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I know I've been called. I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I know you're my provider. Provide. And within about an hour and a half, I had people like 10 years later come up to me and go, I still remember your first sermon over there, the first word rally you ever preached. I remember you preaching on this. I remember preaching on that. And I'm going, I didn't remember that now. God provided. Why? Because I was in my assignment. Your job can be your assignment, especially if you're a paymaster. A specific thing, a specific direction given by God can be an assignment. In other words, Pastor Lisa, go do this. You know, I don't know if God calls you Pastor Lisa. Lisa, go do this. That's become her assignment now. Lisa, pray for this person. That's become her assignment now. So it can be that. But when God gives you an assignment, guess what His intention is? For you to finish the assignment, for you to do the assignment. If it seems too big for you to do on your own, that probably means it's from God. You all know I knew I was supposed to be a preacher when I was a kid. My first thing I ever wanted to be was a car mechanic. Anybody ever seen me work on cars knows that's just laughable. Then I wanted to be a sports hero. Amen. And I was. Except I did it I raced two really good sports people. But all the way through, even in my middle school and high school, when all I wanted to do was play football professionally, that's all I wanted to do. The only thing I'd think of is how can I play football and minister? Be a preacher. It's all I ever thought of in my life. I would find people like Terry Cummings, a basketball player, who was a really good basketball player and a pastor. Reggie White was a really good football player and a pastor. I would find anybody that I could feed on that filled these roles, because all I knew was I was supposed to be a preacher, but I really wanted to be. You know, man, one, if I could have just signed one contract professionally, that would have really helped me in my preaching career. Hallelujah. But I remember, hallelujah. I remember it, but I just forgot it. I had spent too much time talking about that. All I ever wanted to do was be a preacher. And I would sit there with the mentality of watching Dad preach and thinking, man, he's so smooth. I still do that. I've had the privilege, quote unquote privilege, over the last 2 months of watching myself on video. And it hasn't made me totally, you know, hate myself. I appreciate, I'm like, you can ask my family. I'm like, man, I'm good. This is some good preaching, man. Wow. How can people be quiet when I preach? Because this is good stuff. And so I have been encouraged by that, but it didn't start out like that. Because I'd watch my dad, and I'd watch how smooth he was. And I was boring and all get out. Man, I was pathetic. Man, I was not a good preacher. But there were some things God had to teach me, He had to show me, to cause me to step over into being who He wanted me to be. But because I stayed in the assignment that He gave me, I did that. He was able to. Now, let me show you. Now again, if it was just one time, it wouldn't take a long time. But we're going to do this as quick as we can. I want to show you in Scripture of people who stayed in their assignment and walked by favor. The first one, go to Genesis chapter 6. Because we talked about this one of the first weeks. This was the first one about our heritage. Verse 8. I think we'll just read out of the New Living Translation straight up. Brother John. But Noah, listen, it took Noah 100 to 100 years, 120 years to build the ark. It had never rained. Guess what the weather was for all 100 and 120 years that he built that ark? It was the dew came and watered the grass. There was never rained. It had never rained for 100, 120 years. And yet he would show up every day with his hammer and nails and pop, 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 pop. He'd show up every day and move large pieces of lumber into place. He showed up every day for 100 to 120 years to do what he was assigned to do. And verse 8 says what? Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was in his assignment. Therefore, while everybody else was going under, he was going over. And legitimately, it was always because... It didn't mean his assignment was always easy. We know he had people making fun of him. But because he stayed in his assignment, he operated in the favor of God. How about Joshua? Go over to Exodus 24. Joshua, I love the Joshua. You talk about faithfulness. Only one of two people, plus their families, that left Egypt, that went through the wilderness and enjoyed the promised land. One of two, plus their families. Yet the reason he found himself in that position was because of him staying in his assignment. Go over to Exodus 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. Now we know for these 40 days, they got the children of Israel got a little antsy for 40 days. Now I've always taught this, that Joshua stayed on the side of the mountain while Moses went up to the top. There's no indication of that. There's no indication that Joshua didn't leave Moses' side. He ever left Moses' side. So when the glory of God came down on that mountain, when God put him in the cleft and he, all that stuff that was going on there, Joshua was right there in his assignment. And there was a reason why he qualified for the assignment. It's because he had experienced that. Because he was, there's one guy I read, and he said, honestly, he said Joshua's job was Moses' right-hand man. And therefore, Moses' job was to take care of his... when you're in that kind of covenant, it becomes both of your jobs to take care of the other one. Moses is still... And so for Moses to go just throw Joseph on the side of the mountain and then go on up there and not have regards for his food or anything, and for Joshua to stay there instead of... So he said it really tends more to understand that there's a good chance that Joshua was in the middle of everything that God was doing. Because that's what his job was for 40 years. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, says inside the tent of meetings. Which again, if you've already experienced the glory of God drop on you in that mountain, wouldn't you want to be a part of that any chance you get? So in chapter 33, verse 11, it says, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak unto Moses face to face as one speaks with a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, stayed. I think that's still the New Living Translation. I like the way the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out. No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay here a little longer. He was by for 40 years. And it opened up the opportunity. Listen, man. I am not doing a good job of going quickly on this. And I'm not sorry because apparently this is what was necessary. If you had been in that presence on that mountaintop, you were familiar with going into that tent with Moses and just staying in there and being saturated in that presence. And then it was time to obey that voice that said, all right, your assignment is to go into that land. Why would you say anything else but, we are more than able. Let's go do this thing. If God said it, we can do it. Because he was in his state in his assignment, the anointing was there and the favor was there. How about Elisha? Elisha was beside Elijah's side for 10 to 20 years in his assignment. He was so much in his assignment that when Elijah was taken up, he wasn't sitting there going, all right, it's my turn. He was grieved. Because the assignment that had been on him for somewhere between 10 and 20 years had now been released. But he didn't get just what Elijah got. He got the double. Favor. Favor because he stayed in his assignment. How about one more? Queen Esther. Go to Esther chapter 5. Hallelujah. What I'm going to probably do today is finish this point. Hit on the last point. And maybe it'll be enough to not have to preach it next week too. But I'm not. Again, this is so alive in me. I want it to be that way in you. Esther chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Now again, remember all the things that happened. We're bypassing all that just to get to this point. Is that there's a death sentence put on the Jews. And it was but through trickery, through deception, all that kind of stuff. But there's a death sentence. And Mordecai has looked at Esther and said, hey, you know, you're in this place. You know, you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. If you don't do it, God will use someone else, but you can be the one in your assignment. And so she spends some time, and then she gets ready to go into the king's presence. Now, anybody that understands that kind of rulership, Orion would understand this because he likes that kind of history, knows that if you go into the king's presence unannounced or without invitation, the king can sentence you to death immediately. It's well within his... because you don't come into the king's courts. You just don't do it. Even if you're the queen. And so she's just trusting God in her assignment. I've been placed here for such a time as this. In my assignment, I'm going to trust you. So it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on a royal apparel, stood in the inner courts of the king's house, over against the king's house. The king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so that the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, and she obtained what? Favor in his sight. And the king held out unto Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the tip of the scepter. So she's already been granted access when he didn't have to. Now here's... Catch this next line. I want to read it from up here so I can read it with you. Then said the king unto her, what do you want? Esther, what is your request? It shall be... What was she coming in for? She was coming in to say, hey, we need protection. You need to protect us. She walked out with half the kingdom and an answer to her prayers. He said, I'll give up to you half the kingdom. I think I heard Bill Winston say she walked out of there with half the kingdom and a plan to save her people. What would you call that? I call that the favor of God that was on her. Why? Because she was in her assignment. She was in her place. She obeyed the voice of the Lord God. Amen. Beloved, again, what has God called you to? What has He said for you to do? Whether it be your assignment, your gifting, your calling, where has He placed you? What's your job? What's your obedience thing that He's told you to do? Beloved, I'm telling you what, if you want the favor of God, listen and be, and the anointing will follow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Can I just throw this out here? And if I'm supposed to, there's so much to it. But, all right, number seven. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Because we do know this one. Is that if you're going to get favor, you got to sow favor. If you're busy being selfish, why didn't everybody do things for me? If you're busy being selfish, you're not going to operate in the favor of God. It's just not going to happen. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that." If you sow money, what you going to get? If you sow kindness, what you going to get? If you sow blankets, what you going to get? If you sow favor, what are you going to get? Luke chapter 6 verse 8 says, "Give, and it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." This is how the kingdom of God works. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest remains. If you want to receive something, you've got to sow something. You've got to sow that thing. If you want favor working for you, you've got to be busy sowing favor for others. I can do this, I think, really quickly without reading it because we know the story. I use it all the time. But how about Ruth? Ruth set aside. She could have gone home and taken everything under her direction to get a husband, to get a family, to start over. But she said, "No, I'm making it my responsibility to take care of Naomi and make Naomi's life better, make her life stronger." She went out and worked and sweated and did things for Naomi so Naomi could stay at home and just and be who she... She took care of Naomi and the favor of God took care of her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to Proverbs 11. We'll just wrap this up with this. And if this is as far as we get in this, that's fine. I just felt, man, that when I got on the assignment, that became strong in me. Quit jumping around. Quit doing all that kind of stuff to try to find something else that might be more lucrative. Find your assignment. Trust God. Believe for favor. And God will take care of the details. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. You've probably heard this one before. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat and attendeth to poverty." Now again, I love this passage when it's regards to giving. But if you look at it now in just regards to favor, there is that scattereth favor and increaseth in favor. There are a lot of people who don't want to show favors to other people because if you show favors to other people, what about me? I need stuff too. They don't want to do favors because they're too busy hoping that favors will come to them. Too inward focused. They withhold, therefore it keeps it from working for them. If you'll learn to scatter favors, you'll increase in favors. Amen. Scriptural. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt that was about right. I could have gone a little slower on that, but I really wanted to get done with that, just really the assignment. Let's stand together. I'm telling you this, beloved. There's not a person in this room that's not been given an assignment, whether gifting, which would be more long term, or whether just a simple obedience, which may be a shorter term. There are things that God wants to get done that only you are equipped to get done. And if you continue waiting for everyone else to do it, you're going to get frustrated. If you keep, again, what it said in James chapter 4, warring and clawing and trying to get above, instead of just doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be full of anxiety and frustration. But if you will stay in your assignment, do what God tells you to do, sow it. Don't be afraid to sow favor. Don't be afraid of that at all. Beloved, you're going to watch favor start working for you unlike it's ever worked for anybody. I mean, I'm telling you what, you will be the ones writing stories of the favor of God instead of having to read everybody else's. Amen? Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want some more of it. I love your word. And I'm grateful, Father, for the promises of your word. The favor of God that surrounds us with a shield. It's our heritage. It's our lineage. Because we're children of God, we get to walk in it. And we don't need to be ashamed of it. We can stand boldly and say, watch my God do this thing for me. But Father, we just need to make sure that we're activating it. And specifically this morning, Father, I pray that you will help us in this place. Father, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know their assignment, their gifting, Lord, I pray that they will become more hungry for it than they've ever been. And that as they go after it, become more hungry for it, Lord, that they will start getting wisdom on how to carry it out, whatever it is. But Lord, allow us, help us to find our assignments, to listen to your voice, to do what you told us to do, so that we can be where we need to be for that anointing and the blessings to pour upon us. We love you so much. Lord, today, allow each and every one of us to have an opportunity to sow favor to others. To scatter it. So that it'll come back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We love you, Dad. We love you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Expect it. Expect it. Call it forth. I love you guys. I love you. Go with God. Walk in His blessings. Prosper. Be in health. Even your soul prospers. I love you. God bless.